We're taking a second look, my friend, at this issue of maybe being too darned mad to praise. Has it occurred to you how many people in the Bible were very angry with God? Let's look at this. This is Colin Cook and How It Happens. Thank you for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on the good news about our Heavenly Father and how we exercise our faith in Him as He has revealed Himself through His Son and what He has done to take care of our broken humanity, our sins as well. And we're looking at how we learn to trust and intercept our struggles, our addictive struggles, perhaps, by faith and with faith. All right, so you may be looking, starting on this journal and looking at the abuse that you went through in childhood. You might be discovering there's a lot of repressed resentment or anger or even rage in you that is making you indifferent towards praising God and having a thankful heart towards Him. So, let your mind take note, perhaps for the first time, that the shame that might have been inflicted on you as a child was undeserved. You know, you spilt the milk, or you were just being a terrible twos kid. You were learning what it was like to be thrilled about life, and they were blaming you and whining at you and complaining at you and saying, what's wrong with you? When in fact, this may just have been childhood innocence or a childhood process of learning. It was not shame that in you that arose from perhaps doing something wrong, but we're all sinners, of course, but you may not have been shamed from what you were doing wrong. You may have been shamed in unjustly, and you may need to note that, perhaps for the first time. So you might have been a victim of shame dumping, and especially that worst kind, the physical and sexual abuse. It might be difficult to muster any feeling about this as you write about it in your journal. You might just feel a paralyzed numbness, but try to write down the data in detail. Yes, detail. Write what happened to you. And as you do, maybe false shame comes over you again. Maybe stress, a quickened heartbeat, because you're beginning to feel all of these feelings all over again. You might feel flushed. You don't want to write this stuff down. You want to run. And you can pause and just get up and do something else, but then come back. You're safe now. There's a growing self in you in Christ. You're founded in Jesus. You cannot be harmed by that abuse anymore. Just write it down at any speed you can manage, slowly or fast. And as this process continues, you are looking at it rather than from within it. You're not in there anymore experiencing that abuse. You're outside of it looking at it. And as you watch this helpless child that you once were being beaten or sexually abused, there's enough self in you now to feel anger and rage over it rising, not just passivity and numbness. Parents who severely shamed themselves were rather severely shamed in themselves in some way, perhaps in their childhood, are passing it on to you, you see, through this physical and sexual abuse. Now, as you're writing, the injustice builds, the fury mounts. How could you do this to an innocent child like me? I was a person, not a thing. This was your shame, not mine. That's what you might be feeling as you write. Write that down, in fact. You might want to pace. You might want to get up and just walk around. You might want to punch a pillow or find a place to scream. And as the process mounts, you will find yourself crying out a complaint. A complaint of the ages. Ah, where were you, God? How could you let all this happen to me? Why didn't you stop them? Are you powerless? Didn't you care? I can't forgive you for this. I hate what you let happen to me. I'm furious with you, God. I hate you. Now, don't be shocked. You may find yourself expressing that to God. You may be stunned by the words that come out of your mouth. You might fear you have blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. You've never raged against God before. What in the world are you doing? But notice a change that's coming over you. There's a person present capable of being outraged by what happened. And for the first time, your rage has somewhere to go, doesn't it? It's no longer stuck in the void, like a brooding, silent, almost pragmatic atheism, if you like. At least it's a rage directed at God. At least it's a rage that recognizes His responsibility for the world, even though you don't like the way you perceived He's going about it. So thankfully, your rage is directed at, listen to me, the one person who can do something about it. Whole nations have to rage. All kinds of evil that has happened in the world, the pogroms, the genocides, the horrible extermination of people and controlling of people. Whole nations have somehow to come to the place where they rise up and hopefully not in rage against their neighbors, but calling out to God, what happened? Now, as I say, your rage is directed, once you know how to direct it, to God, to the one person who can do something about it. What may surprise you, my friend, is how like yours is the incredible realism the people of the Bible showed over their frustration with God. Listen to this. Where is your power? Where is your love? Complains Isaiah in chapter 63. Why do you make people wander from your ways? Why do you harden people's hearts so they don't fear you? He says in chapter 63 as well. You're like a deceptive stream, says Jeremiah in chapter 15. Cursed be the day I was born, he says in chapter 20. Wake up, God, why are you asleep? Rouse yourself. Why do you forget our misery? Says David in Psalm 44. Why is life given to those who long for death that doesn't come? Says Job. Why have you made me your target? He complains in chapter 7. I want to argue my case with God, he says in chapter 13. God, you have worn me out. That's Job in chapter 16. Have you taken these verses seriously and not simply treated them as some sort of pathetic poetry? These are people in the depths of despair and struggle and pain, and they are complaining to God. Dare anyone say these graphic complaints were not swirling with profound emotions of anger and, in some cases, considering the crises, rage towards God? The astounding thing is that God didn't blast them off the planet. Clearly, He would rather have people be angry with Him than ignoring Him. At least when we are angry with God, we are not in a state of denial where we are simply numb at a void, empty universe. So it is okay, my friend. So, what takes place in this rage before God? When you raged at God, you began to release a burden of shame to the Lord. Let me say that again. When you raged at God, you began to release a burden of shame to the Lord, and He, let me assure you, can carry it. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, he says, and I will give you rest. That's Jesus in chapter 11 of Matthew, verse 28. Few people realize what a heavy burden repressed rage is. It saps the strength and makes you old before your time. When you take your rage at God, to God, you will discover He will carry even this. Though He will remain silent over your why questions and not reveal fully to you this side of eternity the reasons for allowing such an unspeakable feast of losses, yet by bringing your rage before God, your heart is beginning to abandon its shame and is gradually being reconciled to its horrendous feast of losses. How does this happen? There is first a profoundly relieving sigh in being able to be honest, truly honest with God, in being able to tell him how you really felt back then or now. You've come out of the denial of your rage, a denial that presupposed the shame was really yours. And as you stood up to God in your rage, yourself, the faith self, was beginning to emerge, my friend, the very self that God was resurrecting in you. You struggled with God and prevailed, like Jacob back there when he wrestled with God and won. Genesis 32, remember? Second, you sense that somehow the power of your rage has diminished in the presence of God. Why? Because he's not raging back at you like some dysfunctional parents would. You know, if you rage at a parent who's dysfunctional, he rages back and nothing is resolved. But God doesn't rage back. And therefore, he's not feeding shame back into you and rage back into you. There's a stillness in the presence of God, a stillness after the storm of your rage, which gradually leads you to accept and stop denying what happened to you. And in that quietude before God, after you've raged, you sense some of the burden of rage and shame lifting. For the fact is, my friend, as offensive as this may sound to you at the moment, now listen carefully to me, there is something even more damaging than the abuse that was inflicted upon you, and that is your unresolved rage that has followed it through all the years and followed you and hunted you through all the years, poisoning your soul. Now you are facing it with God, and now God is absorbing the sorrow, the pain, and the burden of it. Take my yoke upon you, he says, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, you can imagine and understand, my friend, that what I'm counseling here does not happen overnight. What we are talking about in a couple of radio broadcasts may, in fact, take you months to work out. Maybe a year. Maybe you need to get honest with God where you've just pretended before. There are Christians who are so falsely righteous, they feel they have to just quote the right things and say the right things and praise in the right way, and they, as a result, cannot get to the true pain and rage and hurt and resentment at the bottom of their hearts. Look, don't use praise, my friend, as a repression of what you feel. When Paul speaks about praising for our tribulations in chapter 5 of Romans, verses 3 and 4, notice he does not say, and I've mentioned this to you before, we praise God in the midst of or in spite of our tribulations. He says we actually praise for our tribulations. But there's no way that can be done if you haven't worked on the anger and the resentment and the rage of your past, and come to some resolution by faith about it. So go for it, my friends. Take your time. Don't be in a hurry. And God will work things out for you. I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.